question. Danny, how are you?
I'm well, George. How are you guys doing?
Good, but I am so conflicted tonight. On one hand, I can get home field, but it's the Dodgers. On the other, we can lose home field, and I believe the Giants are an easier draw. What do you think?
Well, George, talk about conflicted. I'm going to be on an airplane. That's conflicted.
That is conflicted.
I pity the person sitting next to me because I'm going to be basically watching it online. George, I think this is for all of, you know, all of us who are baseball fans. This is the perfect scenario. I mean, a deciding fifth game with the two best teams in the game playing at a absolutely incredible venue. I mean, that ballpark is, for me, extraordinary. I think it's going to be the perfect setting. So obviously that means it's probably going to be a dud because sometimes those things don't work well. But I think the Dodgers are the better team. I think the Giants having the home field brings it back to square one. It's a great pitching matchup. One of the things to keep in mind for all your listeners, George, is that athletes have anxiety. As much as they'd like to pretend like they don't, they have anxiety in a game like this. And a guy like Webb, who throws a lot of change-ups, can even be more effective in a game of this magnitude playing on hitters, you know, insides. Just, you know, we've all been there, you know, studying for that test or having that experience that you're, you know, you're nervous about. That's what's going on tonight. I think the Dodgers are probably going to win this game, but I would not at all be surprised if the Giants won. And I was giggling this morning because I was thinking that was exactly where you were thinking about home field advantage on this one is, you know, distinctly a big deal. So I think you just have to consider, you know, for the Braves, who I know we're going to talk about, what an amazing turnaround in a week period where, you know, you thought the end was near after that first game. Now you're worried about a seven-game series and which team is the better opponent for you. Nice problem to have.
Yeah, and Pogge's over here laughing. He's a big Brewers fan. And I'll be honest, I thought going in that the Brewers were the better team because I thought they had a huge advantage in the bullpen. But, Danny, they didn't hit a lick in that series.
No, they didn't. And they didn't at times the last year, year and a half. George, remember we talked a week ago, and we talked about that upcoming series at the time. And, you know, I said I would not be surprised if the Braves won in a five- or four-game set because, for me, the Braves have been playing so well since mid-July, whereas the Brewers, even though they've played well, they haven't played well lately. And I just thought, you know, when you don't hit in the postseason, George, you don't win. You got to pitch and hit. When Freeman hit that ball the other night, the first thing I thought was when we were talking about him in May and how bad he was. And, you know, it's a great example of when the good ones figure it out, they don't forget. And that at-bat was one of the biggest at-bats in the history of the franchise.
Danny, I have wanted to believe, and I've said it on the air for about 3 years now, that this young nucleus that Atlanta has will eventually win a world title. And I believe that. I have believed it all along. But I absolutely have not believed that you can lose Ronald Acuna, Marcell Ozuna, and Mike Soroka and compete at that kind of level. How are they doing this?
Stunning, isn't it? It really is stunning, George. They've lost three of the most important players on their team for an extended period and have actually played better without them, which makes absolutely no baseball sense. A couple things for me. I told you this when I saw the Braves play in Colorado a couple months ago. I think it was in mid-August. Freeman ran a ball out with two outs in the top of the ninth inning with a big lead. They told me a lot about their club. He ran it out hard. Swanson made a great catch, if you remember that little pop-up in left center field that he made an extraordinary play on with a lopsided deficit. He told me about the character of the team. You know, the manager is outstanding. He gets rave reviews from anyone who's ever worked with him. I can't say that I know him well, but I know him well enough to know he's the real deal. And it comes down to your core. If your best players are good guys and your best players don't run from the responsibilities and the accountability, George, that's your leadership in the clubhouse. Frank Thomas and I were talking about this yesterday. You can really see leadership during the postseason because there's a lot of hardship and there's a whole lot more cameras. And as a result, you can see the human emotion. This team just believes in themselves. And, you know, yeah, they didn't have the lovely one-loss record that you'd like. And, I mean, people like you, George, who follow the team, were wondering like heck about them as late as early July. But now, look where they are. I mean, they're one of the final four teams. It's a remarkable story, and I think it starts with Freeman. But people like Max Fried, Charlie Morton, who are incredible character guys, man, those are the reasons you win World Series championships. And you win with character, George. It's called makeup in baseball. You don't win without makeup in the postseason. You just don't, and the makeup is clear. And that's a real testimony to what Alex and his staff have done, because the things they did at the deadline were extraordinary, but the people they added to fit perfectly.
Take me through, in your mind, what the strategy ought to be in the baseball playoffs, because it's clearly a ton different than the regular season. It kind of reared its head in a game I went to Monday where Freddy Peralta was cruising. Council makes the decision with first and second, nobody out, to get him out of the game and pinch hit for him. I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, they need runs. They've had trouble scoring. But there's no way I'm letting Freddy Peralta get out of that game. Now, it's an easy second guess because it bit him in the butt. But yeah. Talk to me about that mental tug of war that's going on.
George, what a great question. You know, you play 162 games to get to the postseason, utilizing your fourth and fifth starters, piecemealing your bullpen, putting guys on the field at times during the year that aren't your best players, but you're trying to rest guys, and sometimes you'll take one for the team and you get pounded and just do things very different because it's a marathon. This is Usain Bolt. Every single game has so much to it. Bobby Cox told me something 25 years ago that I will never forget. And I think it's a great way for all your listeners and yourself to think this through. Bobby said, Danny, you go for the win. You go for the win. You don't worry about tomorrow. Because if you have the win in the back pocket, tomorrow, hey, you figure it out. You never have that mentality in the regular season. In the regular season, you're worried about your bullpen. You're worried about blowing up your starting rotation. You're worried about getting so-and-so a day's rest. Now, all you're worried about is trying to get the next out, the 27 outs total. You're not worried about bruising egos, and you're not as worried anymore about upsetting guys' emotions. It's amazing, George, what goes on in the clubhouse and in the dugout this time of the year. We all saw it when Buehler came out of the game the other night. Look at how supportive Roberts was and the pitching staff was to him for taking the ball with short rest and not going long enough to get a W, but going long enough to give him a chance to win the ball game. But here's the problem, George, and it's you feel it, and you feel it pre- and post-game in the dugout, in the clubhouse. The manager manages differently. Some guys are equipped for that. Some guys aren't. Some guys are much better in the comfortable confines of a 162-game season. Other guys are even better in the postseason. And what we learn, and I think, George, what we don't know about these guys are who are they in the moment? You really don't know. Like, I've known Alex Cora since he was 11 years old. Alex Cora goes for the juggler. Alex Cora is a great single-game manager. other guys can't shake that in-season dilemma, and they can't manage for the moment, and those guys are left watching TV in October. It's a hard transition, George. You know, like today we saw the Cardinals let their manager go, which I was kind of surprised about. But it might have something to do with the last few weeks of the season. But in reality, most of the managers in the dugouts this time of the year, they're either really good or they're just okay. And just okay this time of the year, usually it has a bad result.
Yeah. Great answer, by the way. Watson, I know we'll probably get you right in the middle. Ask one or two, and then we'll bring you back up in the next segment.
Danny, to follow up on what you just talked about, in football, we spend a lot of time before a season even starts as a staff talking to other staffs, putting together post-game, bowl game, exactly what you're talking about as football staffs. You prepare for all of that long before you get there. Do baseball staffs do that? Do they sit and say, okay, when we get to the postseason, here are the philosophical changes we have to do, we have to think different? Or is it just come in when it gets there, okay, here's what we're doing?
Watson, what a great question. The good ones do, Watson. The mediocre ones sputter, and the poor ones, they eliminate themselves. Watson, what happens this time of the year is teams have their elite observers and evaluators out watching their potential opponents. And they watch them. We talked about this about a month ago.
Yeah.
They're out there, you know, like the National League clubs right now are going to be watching Houston and the Red Sox during their period about the nuances. You know, what's their cadences about the bullpen? How are their sequencing? Who does he go to when he's down? Who does he go to when he's up? Does he have a quick hook? Does he have a long hook? Who does he favor? Who will he run with? Watson, immense responsibility. And the accountability in the clubhouse is incredible. The players will ask you personal questions and will say things like, you know, Watson, if I've got this guy up with a guy on third and two outs, what do I need to go to? What's my pitch with this guy? You feel the heat. You feel the pressure. But Watson, the game is such that we are the only sport that plays up to seven games where the defense initiates the action in the postseason. That compromises everything, and it makes it really a challenge.
Okay, here's what we'll do, Watson. We'll come back to you for a couple of questions with Danny, and then Terry will take it the rest of the way. Danny Evans talking MLB playoffs. Stay tuned. We got plenty more coming. A great game tonight that ought to have some pretty good ratings. Dodgers-Giants from out in San Francisco. Winner takes all. Loser will have won more than 105 regular season games and get nothing to show for it. This is the Plaster Radio Network. My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to sirspeedymusiccity.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
It's the sound of the skate sliding on the ice. It's the rumble of music and vibration under your feet. It's the sea of gold sweeping across Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators are back in action with the excitement you've been waiting for. These are the golden moments you do not want to miss. Single game tickets are on sale now. Visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets to secure your seat. Grab your gold and show your pride because we're painting the town Preds. Smashville! It's time for Nashville Predators hockey. Visit NashvillePredators.com today.
We prevent engine problems by changing the oil in our car. But when it comes to our hearts, we often wait until there's a problem. Why wait for problems when you can be preventative? Soul-T is a patented tea extract that can help reduce cholesterol and help maintain heart health. I have friends who have been taking Soul-T for years, and the results have been remarkable. And they owe it to Soul-T. Don't wait for a problem. Come to soulteat.com/radio and start taking care of your heart today with a special 25% discount exclusive at soulteat.com/radio.
You're listening to the George Blaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
We are back. Danny Evans, he talks baseball better than any human being on the planet. And Watson, the floor is yours.
Danny, to follow up on my next question, because it kind of comes from the first one. I read an article today where it was talking about Braves have a major advantage on either team because they've had more time to prepare than the winner of this game will. They get on a plane and come, and I laughed at it, and I want you to comment on it because these teams, that you've been scouting these teams for 2 months. You know who's probably going to win the division for at least a month. So, I mean, it's not like the Dodgers or the Giants are going to have to catch up overnight. They already got game plans ready for the hitters and the different pitchers, right or wrong.
Oh, Watson, really super. You know, Watson, here's a couple different parts of my answer. Number one, remember when you had that week off where you had an off day on a Saturday and it was just an off week? Remember how refreshed your team was and how well you played? Yep. I mean, how well you practiced. You just had more energy, but you also are a little funky because you're not playing that usual cadence, that usual calendar, and it's a little different. Big league players in mid-October have been traveling for 8 months. They have been on the road every 3 to 7 days, getting in at 3 or 4 in the morning, playing that night. Their bodies, while fatigued, are very much used to this crazy schedule that all of us in the game have during the baseball season. So So Watson, when I'm hearing people say, oh, you know, it's going to be so hard for a club to fly across, no. No, because the momentum and the enthusiasm and, you know, candidly, just the excitement of being in the postseason just delivers, and you don't have to worry. Is there fatigue? Well, heck yeah, there's fatigue for everybody in the game at this time of the season. The advantage the Braves have, and it's distinct, is to have some days off and be able to set your starting rotation to whom you would like to go game one, two, three, four, and then some. Whereas the Giants and the Dodgers, they'll just pick up their rotation, which sometimes doesn't seem fair, but I think it's the reward that the Braves get for finishing it early. Winning in three or four games, Watson, this time of the year is massive, because then you reshuffle your deck, you get your bullpen rested, some of the nagging dings on your position players, and suddenly your club just has a better chance of winning.
And quick answer, a yes or no, I guess, or pick a team. Which one wins tonight? And I'll give it to Terry. I don't want to eat up his time. Who do you pick?
Dodgers.
Good. Terry?
Danny.
By the way, not good.
Danny, one of the things that, you know, I got to thinking about in terms of the way the game has changed, and the way I think it probably goes all the way down to scouting departments, the way that they look at teams and look at players, because now every team is loaded with guys who have a mid-90s fastball and they have a great off-speed pitch that goes with it. And then the hitters, you know, they're looking more at things like launch angle and exit velocity and all. My question is this. Would guys like an 18- or 19-year-old version of guys like Wade Boggs or Greg Maddux, would they even get scouted very much in today's baseball world?
Sure they would. Absolutely. The good ones always are seen, Terry. What we do better than ever is we see players now a ton. They weren't scouted as much as 25, 30 years ago. When I first started, sometimes there were two reports on guys that you selected early in the draft. Now people get seen. People get seen against other elite players. We know makeup on them better. We have metrics on them. So, yeah, the good ones always get seen, because a good scout knows talent. The only thing that gets in the way, Terry, is a team that's a stat-head team that doesn't rely on their scouts. Yes, those are clubs that would miss some guys. And they would miss them because they're more worried about the statistical nature of the player than they are the talent and the makeup. And the good clubs combine all of those. The bad clubs, they sputter because they haven't figured it out yet. And those are the clubs who consistently watch TV.
And one of the things, I had a conversation with a guy, we were talking some baseball the other day, and one of the things that we were talking about is the face of baseball. And you go back into like the 50s and 60s, it was Mickey Mantle. In the 70s, it was probably Johnny Bench. You know, you go on through maybe in the 80s, I would say Dwight Gooden might have been the face of baseball for a while, and then on into Derek Jeter. But really, to my way of thinking, since Jeter retired in 2014 or 15, whenever it was, there really has not been a prominent guy to take that mantle and be the face of baseball. I mean, a lot of people wanted it to be Mike Trout, but he has such a quiet, unassuming nature. I think there's a chance it could end up being Shohei Ohtani. Who do you think are candidates to be the new face of baseball?
That's a terrific topic, Terry. You know what? First of all, I think it has to be a position player, because they're playing every day, not every fifth or sixth day. To me, Kershaw is the face of the game, but Kershaw pitches every 5 or 6 days. It's not enough. But he's on an elite stage, on an elite franchise, and has delivered. I mean, he's arguably one of the greatest pitchers ever to pitch in the game. I think it's Ohtani, and I think that's great for the sport. The two-sport element really makes him a very attractive athlete. when it comes to, you know, kids throughout the world wondering if they should play the game. There's no harness on him. He pitches, he hits, he steals bases. He's good looking, as my sister once said. I think it's really important that the game realizes, you know, Trout for me is a generational talent. Ohtani is the most unique player I've ever seen. But for me, there's a couple guys, Tatis and Soto, who are absolutely extraordinary young talents and, for me, are going to be great players for an extended period. But I think the problem with the sport is we market teams more than we market individual players. See, like for me, Mookie Betts, I cheer like heck for Mookie Betts. He's a good person. He does great things. But our game tends to market clubs and organizations and history, and we don't do as good a job as I think we could marketing individual players because it's a team game. It's an individual sport in a team game, and as a result, it gets complicated when it comes to things like this. But I think it's a fabulous question. I think on top of it, Ohtani encompasses so many things. International, he's exciting, he's unique. That's why I think he might be the guy right now.
And then I got one more here since we got a couple of minutes left. We haven't talked about the American League Championship Series, and as much as I wish both teams could lose as a Yankee fan, who do you like in that series?
Oh, man. It's tough for me because both managers are really good friends of mine. So I'm just hoping neither one of them gets in the way of their team and does a good job. Something about the Houston Astros just intrigues me right now. They're playing on all cylinders, and their better players are playing well. I would love to see Dusty Baker sometime get a World Series championship. He's one of my favorite people in the game. I think this is going to be a phenomenal series. These two teams have real good core players, and they've got there in a way that a lot of us didn't anticipate. You know, I didn't anticipate either one of them being in the LCS. So, Terry, I would take the Astros very slightly. Alex Score is going to get all over me after he hears that I said this. But I think that is going to be a heavyweight fight, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
This is good stuff, Danny. Doesn't get much better than this. Thank you for coming on.
You're so welcome, George. I'm rooting for your Braves. I'll be in Iowa all week watching it with my staff at the Field of Dreams.
I'll be rooting for them, too, and I might be in the ATL.
Oh, George, can you tell Terry his hoodie? I'm trying to find it in our storeroom.
See you, Danny. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Love it. Danny Evans, he can talk this stuff better than any.